the smell of napalm in the morning. Smell! You know that gasoline smell? Smells like...
the... Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, what condition my condition was in.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
Found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
Tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... That's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Now let's cut to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
You talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in.
Well, and welcome to Stacks and Jacks. I'm out. We have Greg Pappas and Willis in the studio, and we have Matt Byrne on the board. We have Mr. Jan Flanagan calling in a little bit. Audrey Johnson later. So, as Ed Sullivan used to say, a big show today. A big. I don't have that weirdo accent he had, but. What nationality was he to have that wacky accent, Craig? You remember? I don't remember.
Sullivan?
Yeah, well, he didn't, sure as hell didn't look Irish, but maybe he was. I don't know. SP Futures up 875, NASDAQ Futures up 53 as we continue to march up here. We have a very interesting comment here because we're going to be talking a little politics today, but not politics in the sense of who the people are or what side you're on or anything like that, but it had to do with the political guy's view of the world versus other people's. And I know that everybody thinks, well, not everybody, but a lot of people wonder where I go when I say it's, people would say, you know, there are people, guys like Greg, you know, I mean, he's one of those kind of guys. Politics should be run like a business. And my point always has been, it is run like a business, just not a business that necessarily we understand so well. That's why we're not politicians. And why we're not mayor or Prime Minister of Britain. But before we get into Chicago and our mayor and where we're going on here and maybe the state, although the state, as it turns out, I think the governor in terms of money is becoming more and more conservative by the day, wouldn't you say, Greg? I mean...
Well, you're limited somewhat by reality.
Some people are. Some people...
Not even he has enough money to fund what he wants to do.
But this guy who's, for those that don't know, the president of, or president, the Prime Minister of Britain is a guy named Rishi Sunak, and he's in the Conservative / Tory party, right, Greg? And they're very concerned that they're having people are leaving the party and blah blah blah. So his view is Britain faces its most dangerous years in history. PM Rishi Sunak warns in pre-election bid. A speech delivered in central London, Sunak said that the years ahead will be among the most challenging in Britain's history. That he is the best person to navigate them. Sunak's political future hangs in the balance following a dismal showing for the Conservatives in local election earlier this month, as well as a string of defections by Tory what's an MP? To the opposition Labour Party. What's an MP? I have no idea.
I don't know. I thought they haven't done the election yet there.
Did some local elections. I don't think they've done the Parliament. I'm not exactly sure. Maybe Jan will probably know. But the thing of it is, these guys, they all have one thing in common. And one of the reasons really why they're willing to, just about any of them, it doesn't matter who it is willing to try, lie, cheat, steal, whatever, to get in. They have the ego that they actually do think that the world needs them. Mm. And in some cases, you know, maybe they do. I mean, we did need Washington, we need Lincoln, we probably needed Roosevelt. Do we need any of these two guys? Probably not. I mean, I don't know. Maybe. But in their mind, we sure do. So these guys have this enormous ego. And their view of economics is a lot different than ours. I mean, if anybody wants to kind of get ahead of the conversation, What's the show on BBM on Sunday morning? Is it At Issue? It's like a Face the Nation, but for Chicago. They had Mayor Johnson on there yesterday, and I listened for when I was dashing around. So I probably should have grabbed a tape and listened again before I talk about it. But I remember most of what he was saying in the one area, and it's a world unlike yours and mine, Greg. It's a totally different world, and when you have divisiveness in politics, I think you have horse bleep politics. I mean, Richard J. Daley, the original mayor, used to win by landslides all the time. So in his mind...
Well, you might think the argument there is he was considerably more capable.
Well, yeah, my point is, but his constituency, for lack of a better term, was the entire city. Right? I mean, in terms of numbers, his constituency was sort of everybody. He didn't say, this group's voting for me and this one's not, so my job is to get money out of the people that aren't and give it to the people who are. I mean, it was a totally different environment. Maybe he created it.
You're talking about the 50s and 60s?
Yeah.
Well, that was a rising tide.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Rising tide. And now you've got a tide that hasn't really moved much since.
Well, let me ask you this.
Expenses have gone up.
I've said this many times since I've been doing this show and the show before, from an economic basis. I mean, by the way, I'm going to say it. I'm not saying it's true or not. You tell me. Because, a younger version of it, which is fine with me. When you break out of the World War II situation and we're helping supply the world rebuild, we're doing all this stuff. And by the way, we're rebuilding here. I mean, and we got a population that's growing. Economically, let's put it this way. You sure as hell didn't want to be sick in the 50s or 60s. I mean, I know a couple of my family members had cancer, and it was freaking brutal. Even getting going to the dentist was a challenge compared to now. So you didn't want any of that stuff. People worked in factories with horrible fumes around, died young. I mean, everybody smoked. In those regards, you don't want to go back there. But in some regards, economically, I think mentally, Greg, if everybody's clicking along, making 3% more a year, is on a very basic level, and your expenses are going up 1.5 or 2. As you said, the tide is sort of going up, and there was somewhat of rationale to the people who did better versus didn't. Somebody would work weekends, somebody else wouldn't. Somebody else took advantage of the GI Bill, somebody else didn't. There was, but by and large, everybody was, if you wanted to, you could percolate forward. If you got a job, if the guy got a job, sometimes it was the labor, mostly it was the guy. One or the other could stay home and watch the kids. You had a bungalow. It was not a McMansion. It was not a beautiful house in Orland or Burr Ridge or someplace. But it was a house. You had a car. You know, probably didn't have all the stuff that's on a car now, but you had a car. You could afford the kids in the local grammar school that didn't have to go to the public school if they didn't want to. Or if they did, the public schools were pretty darn good. It was just a different world. But
Well, they were growing back then,
yeah,
I think.
But I'm saying right now, if you think things aren't growing and you see somebody doing way better than you, the attitude is, how can I put this?
Yeah, population-wise, or
what I'm saying, if somebody's making, if somebody all of a sudden is making 10% more a year than you are, the chances are, he's taking it from somebody who should be making 2 and is now making 1. There's a stealing involved to it. Where in those days people didn't feel that way. I mean, somebody always did steal, right? But what I'm saying is, right now when you see, for instance, and I'm one of my pet whipping boys, if you see all the people at Commonwealth Edison getting a raise, all you gotta do is look at your electric bill, and you realize there's a raise in there that they don't deserve that they're getting, and you're not. So your life is going downhill because theirs is going up. But people didn't feel that way in the 60s. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's there were much more dynamic type of economy here. I think at least you could see that in population growth. Population growth, 50s and 60s here was probably 2% a year. Now I don't know. It's zero.
So zero or negative.
It's been like that for, you know, 10 or 20 years. Income-wise, we all know that the inequality has increased.
Well, you've got this wealth bubble where people own stuff, make a fortune, other people just have to keep paying them.
Right. So, yeah, in terms of population, we've stalled. And in terms of real wealth, you know, that's also kind of gone the other way. So that's the answer to that one.
Well, right? Young people, my uncle, and none of my uncles went to college. You know, my mother had five brothers and sisters, so six total. Nobody went to college. My mother was probably one, or she and my aunt were the only two to graduate high school. Yet, what you learn by the time you're a junior year, you know, paled what these kids are learning today. You know, all these people were avid readers. They knew math up and down. They knew history. My uncles could read drawings. They became tool and die makers. And this is all you all learn this in even a few years of high school back in those days. It's that kind of thing. So,
well, I think if you look at average performance of students now, it might be less in terms of reading.
Well, that's what I'm saying, without a doubt. I mean, she just had a birthday yesterday. My nephew's lovely bride, mother of two really nice girls, and she's a math teacher in one of the burbs. I won't say which one. And she said she got beaten up by her principal last year or somewhere along the line. She had to pass a couple kids that had opted out like 40 days during the year, so they didn't know anything. Doesn't matter, pass them. What's the point? Anyway, what I'm saying is
there's that incentive. One
of my uncles said, this is when Daly was, you know, was that Daly was the, it wasn't, some of it was civil service, a lot of it was patronage, but literally if your uncle's, you know, business left or whatever, and he didn't have a job, you go to the alderman and they'd find him something. You know, it wouldn't be the world's best job, but it'd be a job. He'd be a bridge tender. He'd be something. As long as he showed up, they'd find you something. Now, is that right? Who the hell knows? But the fact is, remember what my uncle said, everything works in the city. Everything works. And, oh, by the way, the corruption is at a level, it's at a manageable level. What do you think of that statement?
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah. Well, you know, the point manageable. Is, it's, you know, the people are in the know. Are stealing 5%, they're stealing 10%, it's not 50. And we can deal with the 5 or 10. We know that's the way people are. And by the way, if we ever need something in the alderman, we go ask them to. You know, type of. But it wasn't, what they didn't give you a job where you didn't have to show up, you know, that type of thing. Yet, you understand the atmosphere I'm talking about. It's not like during World War II that if you and I and Matt, we'll bring Matt in. We're not so sure what his job would be. We'd bring Matt in. Say we're making engines for PT boats. Okay, if we get that contract, everybody knew, I think everybody should have known, that probably we're charging 5%, 8% more than maybe, you know, the best auction could be. I don't know. But it wasn't 50. It wasn't 60. And oh, by the way, the extra couple of bucks we got, we're spending them in the local bar, the local restaurant, and never left the neighborhood, right? It was kind of a different world than if, you know, if somebody, one of these drug guys, charges more and the guy lives in Bermuda or someplace. You know, it just was kind of different. And I don't know how you...
Right now there's a tax arbitrage that probably wasn't available as much because right. You've got A, the travel is much easier, and B, you have electronic everything, so it's money moves the velocity probably way faster now. And the tax shelters available have just increased, so
well,
maybe
there's actually a specific.
But more importantly, what we've lost people like Sears and other, you know, giant Chicago-based businesses. I guess Discover kind of came from Sears, and Allstate
went
to
the
suburbs.
What about the trading floors?
The trading floors left. I mean, that was more recent, but
that's a huge drain. Huge drain.
Yeah, in terms of down here, that's a couple thousand people who pretty much are...
I'm going to say, let's total it up. I'm going to say on the CBOE trading floor, there were 873 blue badges and 100 and some brown badges, say 1,000.
Yeah,
and there probably were
trade was 1,500.
And there probably were three other people on the floor for every trader.
Right, so...
Not to mention all the people at the back office and all the buildings around here. So it's an... I'm going to say it was an easy 30,000 people, 25, totally in the business, easy.
Yeah, that shouldn't really move the needle as much. And a lot of those traders got stock payouts, so they did pay taxes and stuff on that. So it wasn't all loss, but the...
What did the traffic look like getting off the Rock Island when those people were here? It was butthole to butthole to elbow. Now, you know, how many... If you were to put 25,000 jobs here, again, real jobs, in an industry, what is that? How many more bartenders? How many more... What is the business of Ceres look like?
Right. That's true, but more importantly, Montgomery Ward, Marshall Field, all the...
Sears?
Yeah, Sears, all those kinds of, call them movers and shakers or whatever, that's all gone. And I think the city has suffered ever since.
Why do you look at, when you think of those kinds of things, since you brought up the subject, and we'll run it by John when he comes in, why do you think that, and I know the people who actually did the deal to move Sears to Hoffman Estates, you could actually read some... wasn't a book, it was a really long pamphlet or article about,
you know, Sears. William Wrigley, all those kinds of...
Well, that was a divorce.
New products and
that was
such
a divorce. Anyway, but Sears had a place on the west side.
Okay? Colonel McCormick, too.
Yeah, but they had a place on the west side. Matter of fact, it's one of the things that everybody thinks, everybody, people in the landmark committee say, think it should be a landmark. You know what, man, look up that address. Was that on Kedzie? Was that like Kedzie and like Grand Avenue?
What are we talking about?
The original Sears headquarters. I went by it once. Is it? In the anyway, so they moved downtown. But when they were on the west side, Sears catered to blue-collar people. Okay, for those that don't remember, the Sears, I remember because I was always a tall guy, and I could never find stuff in talls. I used to buy stuff out of the Sears Tall Man's catalog. But my buddies and I bought this old piece of crap boat, and Sears had a boating catalog where you could buy stuff from there half price compared to some boatyard. And but they catered to every man. All right, so the people who worked for Sears worked on the west side, and the ladies who did the ladies' stuff in the Sears, you know, the Sears catalog, came from those kinds of neighborhoods, and they were right on with their clientele.
I have the Sears headquarters at 925 South Holman Avenue. Is that sound
ringing
bells?
Yeah. Sorry, but it's on Kedzie right there. It's actually take like three blocks long or wide. So they moved downtown, which is okay. The reason why the now Willis Tower is designed that way is the bottom 10 or 12 floors. Greg, you'd never make a building that big like that before, but those were people who did all the catalog and did all the buying for Sears and stuff. And they were able to get here anywhere in the city for what, when the place opened in the 70s, what was the CTA, a quarter, 50 cents? Didn't need a car, you got downtown, they were able to work here. So somebody decides, okay, we're going to move to Hoffman Estates. Why the hell you would ever do that? Not only did you move out there where everybody now who comes to Sears needs a car, most of the people who work for him said, well, I'm not moving to Hoffman Estates. My husband works here.
Well, that was probably part of the plan. They wanted to downsize.
But,
same thing with what McDonald's
said. But what did it do for them? They lost total track of who their customer base was. The person driving to work in Hoffman Estates is not the same person who knows what people in that blue-collar worker class wants in clothes and overalls and other kinds of things. Right, they don't know what kind of paint. How does somebody in Hoffman Estates decide they can be a buyer for Mount Greenwood? You know,
it doesn't work out,
and it didn't. They totally lost. I mean, we're talking about a company that was first in the world to say people should be able to shop from home through the catalog. And the internet comes by. What's this? It's exactly how they started, wasn't it? Wasn't it just a different way of doing it?
Yeah.
Now your catalog is online. Duh.
Didn't click with them.
Did not click at all. So when people make these moves, the economist would say, you're not looking at your people. You're not doing the stuff right. And when you look at the politics right now, I see the same sort of thing going on. I mean, this guy in Britain, first of all, Britain has some immigration problems. So does everybody. I mean, the world's got more and more people, and guess what? There's less and less decent places to live. It's exactly like before World War I in a lot of ways. You have massive increases of a population all of a sudden, and guess what? There's not many places. I mean, do you think the people in Venezuela want to stay there? Do you think in Argentina want to stay there? Turkey, for finally, is getting their act together somewhat on their currency. Although one of these days, how many zeros do you think they got to lob off, Greg? Like eight?
They got big problems.
But you know what? their inflation rate's down to 3%. They've dropped. Yeah, their, right. Well, they look at their.
Show me a trader that believes that.
Look at their money supply growth in the last year. It's down to almost nothing. It was like 10% a month a year and a half ago. I just want to throw out.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying they're
already
fixed or
dead.
Anything. But the only thing you can do is to improve it. And they are. At the rate of, like, what's their interest rate? 50% or something? Well, how can it not be when your inflation rate's 40? But now it's come down fairly dramatically. Now, is that gonna heal all the old wounds? No, but what else? I mean, if you and I were put in charge today, what would we do? That's just what we do, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, with the politics of it, but the weird part is the same people that wreck it are the guys that are telling you they're the ones that are going to fix it. Sort of like our Fed, huh? I mean, it doesn't mean I like the ruler of Turkey, but he finally at least figured that out. Who knows what else he's screwing up? But, you know, anyway, with the politics now, it's about, and we'll talk when Jan comes out about the mayor's talk yesterday. And you know what? I come away, Greg, thinking, he's not a bad guy. He's trying to do something. His world is just so different than ours. It's just so different. If you listen, I mean, it's like, I say this once in a while. It's like Spock said on Star Trek. I don't agree with anything he's doing, but I'm coming to the point where I understand what he's doing. You understand the difference?
I don't think people have changed at all. It's just a different iteration of how you...
Expectations are to change. Young people today have a totally different view of expectations in the world than people in my generation. Totally different. In terms
their
of
expectations are lower,
without a doubt,
and they should be
right. But they shouldn't. They should be
yeah,
because
subjective.
They are. But they shouldn't be because it shouldn't be that way.
But there's objectively going to be less growth. So
yeah,
I mean, you temper.
The only thing you got going for you, I say you, the young people. The thing you got going for you is maybe you're in the group where your parents have this great chunk of wealth, and you're going to get that as a start out. So the house you can't afford. Papa croaks he's going to pay half of it for you. So you're starting out okay.
I think the coolest thing might be the medical technology and AI type stuff.
Except, you know what though?
That has the potential to drive costs down, but not much else.
Here's the split. We'll talk about this maybe not some other day, but the split between, you see these Northwestern commercials, and there'll be somebody with some totally avant-garde problem. What's the one guy where he cut his head off, put it back on better?
What?
Yeah, some guy had a spinal issue or a cancer or something or other, so they essentially cut his head off. And then I'm saying these are commercials, and somebody else, the lady who had cancer when she was pregnant, they did some surgery where at the same time they did the cesarean for the baby, they fixed. Medical science is so far advanced than it was 20 years ago.
Right.
Yet if you walk into an emergency room, the thing looks like third world. And you see people that now are not going to the doctor because they can afford the deductible. So it's going like kind of both directions. You know what I'm saying? The ability to care for people is off the chart better than it ever was. But the actual care people are getting worse.
Well, the care is getting worse, but we're also, you know, not taking care of ourselves. If you look at the obesity rates and the diabetes
I get all that, but all the cancer and all the other stuff is not taking care of yourself. And a lot of, you know, there's a lot of stuff wrong with a lot of people that is not just their own fault.
That's only because the opportunity for the stuff to go wrong has gone so far.
Let me help you. Skinny people die too.
Skinny people don't die nearly as much as I mean, it's
I could.
There's just so many more instances of
without going
people
into it
on
the air. One of the ladies we used to be on, when we started the show, she was on it. Her name was Holly Norwick, one of the most beautiful, brilliant ladies I've ever known. She went to Europe for like 3 years. Didn't eat like sugar. Didn't want to eat something else. I don't know what the hell she ate. She was the most healthy person I've ever come across. When she'd come work out at the club, people would they'd get on the bikes around her just to watch. She ended up with some rare form of cancer in her optic nerve or something. I have a feeling today they could knock that out, and that was 15 years ago. She died at age 30 something. She was the most healthy person I've ever met.
That's the minority, though.
But I'm saying today they could probably have fixed her.
Yeah.
Just because this new...
Yeah,
new
but then she would live another 50 years or whatever, and eventually she would get dementia, and that would have be reported in the stats.
That's happened
to
you, too.
She didn't even get there, is my point, that now she can at least get there.
SP Futures up 10, NASDAQ Futures up 53. Be right back.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to factor in the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other life decision. Your brain is smarter than your gut, and that's why you owe it to yourself to read Luckbox. We've made it easy because Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with timely, actionable trading ideas, and equips you with savvy investing tactics you don't already know, all while exploring how to live your best life through music, spirits, food, sports, travel, fitness, and a whole lot more. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on controlling their financial futures. It's for overachievers and alpha types who don't buy into Wall Street's investment gurus. It's for mavericks who believe in life, luxury, and the pursuit of happiness. It's for you! Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck, get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. I think most of you know that I'm also the Chief Investment Officer at PTI Securities and Futures. There we invest for and help a wide variety of clients, and you know what? No two are the same. Some have legacy stocks, some concentration issues, some maybe embedded tax issues. The others might need or want some portfolio protection. There could be estate issues or maybe new family members. The point is that we are all unique and the portfolios should match. However, the last several years have seen a relatively one-way market. It seemed that all we needed was to be all in. No protection, no fixed income, just be all in, no matter who you are, what your risk profile or age. Most management firms love that. Take this and like it, no matter who you are. Be careful with that. You are not everybody. I think most see the market view going forward as maybe different than the one looking back, so your portfolio should reflect that. Maybe it's just as simple as your life station has changed. Towards that end, we are accepting some new clients needing a more personal approach and are interested in negotiating the future and not with a portfolio designed for the past. Find me at 312-663-4310. That's 312-663-4310.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe. I'm Matt Byrne on the board. S&P Futures up 1050. NASDAQ Futures up 54. We just keep creeping. Not only creeping, we're going up pretty fast. We have the Dow futures up 43. Last week, the Dow had a huge week. A lot of individual stocks in the Dow really broke out. Today, we've got Microsoft up 236. Microsoft's supposed to go up, what, 0.5%, 1% a day just forever, Greg? Just no matter what? It's
a behemoth.
Apple's up 232. They're supposedly having some strike. Somebody's going to call a strike, but not today. Someone's in Pennsylvania somewhere in one of their stores. I don't think that's any kind of news that moves anything. We're in Europe. We've got the DAX down 32.2%. FTSE down 13.2%. CAC around down 13.2%. So they're down a little bit. We've got this week the inflation data is big. PPI, I believe, is tomorrow and CPI Wednesday. Greg, what do they figure out which one comes out first? One comes out first, the other comes out first. It's kind of weird. I don't know what the planning is on that. Nikkei's down 49.1%. Hang Seng up 151.8%. Shanghai down 6. Call that flat. So Asia markets are sort of lower, but Hang Seng is up. So there you go with that. On Friday, the Dow is up 125 again. S&P up 8. NASDAQ down 5. Friday was a very slow day. Kind of a snoozer. 10-year rate down 2 basis points, 4.49. The Bund down 2 basis points, 2.50 exactly. Japan up 3.94 as Japan keeps creeping up. Doesn't seem like much, but it was like zero or below for like a long time. So this is actually a big change for those guys in the last couple of years. Oil up 44 cents, 78.70, still can't make it through 80. Brent up 38 cents, 83.17. Natural gas unchanged, 225. RBOB up a penny, 251. We've got gold down 27, 23.47. It was up last week. We'll see what happens as the week goes on here. Silver up down 10 cents, 28.40. Copper up 3 cents, pushing 470 now. We have the dollar 107.8 against the euro. It's kind of where it's been. Pound 125.4. It's kind of where it's been. We've got crypto, Bitcoin up 1,200, 62,604. It's trying to bounce back. And that's a lot of stuff there. Man, yeah. What do you got for us, Traffic, Weather, Sports?
Definitely, yeah. Well, good morning, everyone. Currently 6:40 a.m. on May 13th, 2024. As far as traffic downtown on I-90, I-94, Bridgeport, there's a work on the bridge over the Dan Ryan. It's scheduled to close 31st Street in both directions between Wentworth and LaSalle until Friday, August 2nd. So you got some time on that one. As far as weather in Chicago, 65 degrees currently with a high of 76. Not as warm today. We'll see a couple of showers and a thunderstorm this afternoon. Down in Phoenix, 71 degrees and a high of 99. Hot and lots of sun down there. In the MLB yesterday, Cubs won their away game against the Pittsburgh Pirates. That was 5-4 was final score. And White Sox, though, lost their game against Cleveland Guardians. Sox didn't score a single point. Final score 7-0. Today, Cubs play Atlanta Braves at 6:20 p.m. Central Time. White Sox are at home. They'll play Washington Nationals tonight at 6:40. In the NBA playoffs yesterday, semifinals in the East, Pacers beat Knicks 121-89. And in the West, Timberwolves won against I'm going to check that real quick.
Timberwolves lost.
Timberwolves lost against the Nuggets. That's right. That game was 115-107.
They beat Denver out there the first two games, and we thought they were Denver's toast, and all of a sudden they came and beat Timberwolves at home twice.
I have in my notes here, Timberwolves won against Timberwolves.
There you go.
For reference there. Anyway, in the NHL, East second round, Panthers beat Bruins 3-2. In the West second round, Oilers lost against Canucks. That final score was 4-3. That's all I got, Chief. Back to you.
I should have stopped in a Tripoli last night and saw the tears, but I didn't, Greg. Because they're not happy if they lose this series. The bar clearly wants a few more crowds. Mm-hmm. I think they were supposed to beat the world. It's hard to tell, Greg, in the hockey because they reseed every.
I watched some this weekend,
but they reseed, right? It's
really exciting.
Well, playoff hockey is. For those that don't understand what this means, I'm going to work my way through it. If you say it's in the NCAA or an NBA or something, if the crummy team beats the good team early, they take their spot in the seeding. In other words, if the 16th team beats the number one team in the NCAA, then they get to play the number one's schedule, right, Greg?
They've got like two forms of playoffs in the NHL. There's the first 12 teams in, and then there's the last four, and so then they reseed after.
But if you're the crummy team and you upset number one, you may have to play number two in the next round because you're reseeded,
right?
Which is sort of weird. So
it's
really
the division,
hard.
The first round winners meet in the second round, and the third round is what is it? Then after that, then there's the cup finals.
Yeah, it's a little different. But anywho, do we have Mr. Flanagan?
You do indeed. Good morning, Tom.
How are you? What's up, buddy?
Not a whole lot. Coming from a nice weekend.
Yeah, we have the. We're talking a little bit about how the politics and the market matches and how the economy ever gets together with the politics, and does the economy ever going to get together with the stock market in some ways? And because, you know, these are huge turning points if they happen and when they happen. You know, I mean, obviously the rally in 1982 had to do with a huge change in interest rates and a huge change in how government was dealing with stuff. And you look at, you know, right now, and you say, okay, what could go wrong with this market going up all the time and seemingly leaving the rest of valuations behind? And you see stuff happening in cities where, I mean, Nancy was on last week and Audrey will be on today, and Audrey, I'm sure, will agree, the impetus now is for people wanting to rent. and the rental prices are to the roof because people are kind of afraid to buy or can't buy. I don't know which is which, or both. So you have, you know, kind of issues, and you have cities that maybe are not doing so hot, and somehow it's not affecting, quote, the stock market yet. What if the debt level gets to a point where these interest rates go from whatever to whatever, and all of a sudden now stocks are going to be priced at 7% 10-year instead of 4 or 1.5? And I'm not smart enough to predict where it's going to be. I just know that there's a difference there. I mean, some people might say that if the rates are 10%, don't worry about it, the stock market will still go up. You know, maybe, but maybe not. You know, let's just say it would be unusual if that happened, because all of a sudden, you know, the government's going to have to raise taxes on people because they don't have money, right? But anyway, John, I've had a chance to listen to the mayor yesterday. We've had sort of this kind of weird theme lately that as you judge your politicians, you also need to judge a little bit that their idea of taking care of business is a little different than maybe yours or mine. And for some people, like I mentioned earlier, you know, Richard J. Daley, since he had such a big following, there probably wasn't much difference. You know, good government was good politics. But other people in this very, shall we say, split world, and you've got people that are mayor that in the first round of voting maybe didn't even get 100,000 votes, it's a lot different than those days. Whether it's better or worse, you know, who the hell knows, but it is certainly different. The people who put you there, I mean, I think Daley actually felt the whole city put him there, right?
Well, and he had, you know, positions in politics before that, you know, for most of his adult life, where he knew the system and had made connections with people and, you know, had never, like, shied away from public eye. I mean, like city clerk positions and things like that, that he was not new to the whole idea of, you know, what it takes to run a big city. And, you know, I think he studied it very assiduously and, you know, knew exactly what he could do and the kind of support he could expect and how to get elected the first time and how to keep getting elected. We don't have that now by any means. We have a completely different kind of, you know, mindset, as you were saying with Greg before it came on. I mean, maybe there's a way to say that this is, you know, the sort of person who should be in politics. They bring, you know, freshness or something to it. I don't see it that way. I think, you know, you've got someone that now is the mayor of the city who has no grasp of what is involved in running the city, who's completely new to the whole process and has been told what to say and what to do and has nothing of his own to bring to the table, as far as I can see.
Well, I was, what I tried to do, I mentioned earlier, people get bored with this, but I listened yesterday to this ad issue. And instead of, like, turning it off, saying, what am I doing listening to this guy? I actually said, you know what? I might want to learn something for myself. It might, you know, because it still can happen. I might just want to listen and just see where he's coming from, and try and understand. Rather, I want to be like Spock. I didn't say I agreed. I said I understood. Right. So, but if you listen very carefully, the man describes just a different world than, you know, than I would want to do, but he's the mayor and I'm not. So the man actually has, I mean, you can't dissuade the fact that he's got a skill set. He somehow can get people, he says the right thing to people in their mind. Might not be anything you and I agree with, but he probably says the right thing to people, and at the age is just different. In our age, it was always jobs, jobs, jobs. I mean, if you could make a nice living someplace, the schools worked, and the garbage was picked up, everybody was somewhat happy. Played softball at night, put in the bowl at night, you did your stuff, and everybody, you know, the population was somewhat happy. It didn't matter what color you were, the city was pretty safe. I mean, it mattered what color you were, where you could live. I mean, all that stuff was horrible, right? But the fact is, you could get on the bus anywhere and people didn't bug you, the hours, those kinds of things. I mean, nothing was perfect, but now I listen, and it's all about your constituency. I mean, the man is amazingly aware of who his quote people are and who other people aren't. I mean, he talked a lot about the city and but his views on Soldier Field and on employment. You know, and the weird part is, and first of all, he's never going to come on Stocks and Jocks because I couldn't hold back.
They only won on how many votes did they win by?
I mean, you can't count on the final election. It's what do you got to do to get into the final election?
Well, either way, it's less than 20,000 or 30,000 votes, I think.
Well, no, what I'm saying is, when Lori Lightfoot got on the ballot, she was the leading vote getter at 90,000 votes or 92 or something. In the first 10 people who run, that's what I'm talking about. The what do you call that? What's the first election, John?
The primaries.
Well, no. Yes, the nonpartisan.
It's a nonpartisan primary, or whatever it is. So essentially, it's the every person, everybody wants in election. There were 10 people.
It's the jungle primary.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, it's you know, we could all be in there ourselves, Greg, if we went and got however many signatures. So she got 90,000 votes. And once you get into the final, then you know, it's a toss-up, sort of. So, but, I mean, how does somebody become mayor of the city with only 90,000 votes initially? When you've got, you know, I won't say 3 million more because we don't, but say 2.6. That's insanity. What did this guy get in the first round? Man, why don't you go look that up?
And I can tell you.
But then he ended up
122,093.
Yeah. And what did Vallis got, how many?
185,743.
Yeah, so then they run the second time, and the teachers' union's all behind him, and they all go out and vote. And how many people showed up? 25% at most?
319,481 to 293.
Right.
033.
So 600,000 people voted.
There was the runoff to eliminate Lightfoot.
No, Lightfoot wasn't in the runoff. The runoff was Vallis and this
the
guy.
First round was 21% to 32% to 16%. So Johnson had 21, Vallis was 32, and Lightfoot was 16.
All right, and then,
in the runoff, after Lightfoot was eliminated, Johnson picked up to 52 to 47.8. So,
what was the total
Of votes?
Yeah.
319,000 to 293,000.
All right, so basically 600. And how many registered voters we have? 2 million?
I don't know.
It was
like 30% or something.
But now you've got a teachers union. But is he still getting paid, Jen? Now
answers to that question, though. that was a bone of contention during the campaign that he would not commit to giving up his
county pension, right, or whatever.
No, he was a consultant to the school board.
Highly paid, too.
Yeah, consultant. He was a teacher for what, like a year or two? Then he became a consultant to help him get money in the community. Basically, he was a mouthpiece for him.
He still is, Tom.
Still is. I mean, well, that's what I'm saying.
The latest, I won't bore everybody on the, you know, the guests on the show, but the leaked document that has the talking points for the contract negotiations for the teachers union runs to 142 pages. And it's got jaw-dropping stuff on every page. So, I mean, it's one thing to have a election system that gives somebody with a very narrow view of what he or she is capable of doing and gives them a chance to become a front runner in a runoff election. And it's another thing then to start implementing transformative changes that there's absolutely no mandate for in any shape or form, which is, I think, what we're headed for here.
Well, let's throw that one for a second. I don't want to change topics on you guys. I love this topic, but let's get back to the general view of things, which that's what he was talking about yesterday, and it's kind of more. But he was talking about his accomplishments in his first year, and he rattled off a list of minimum wage increases. Okay, then it was something about paid time off and something, and then but there was another one in sick days or whatever the thing was, but he's rattled off these, and it's all about, you know, workers, but it's in, the man has never run a business. When I say, you know, that's kind of a dumb thing to say, but he's never run a place where you're signing people's checks, but there's some very obvious questions that a moderator who was willing to at least give one hard question would just ask, because he rattled off all these workers' rights sort of thing. And which, you know, I don't have a problem with anybody having workers' rights, but I mean, you need to ask the man at some point, okay, Mayor, in your vision, other than the city of Chicago or the teachers' union or the schools, where they're bloated to beat the band, where if you have 1,000 people and 200 people are off sick or wherever they are one day, you can somehow muddle through. But in your view of the world, let's say PTI had 40 employees. How many of them show up on any given day, given all your stuff? 32? 28? 36? I mean, in your view of the world, and you, if you ran a business, how many people would it, the world is not all the city or the Chicago Teachers Union, which is bloated to beat the band. I mean, you just wonder what their view of the world is. Then he went on to talk about Soldier Field and how he inherited 100-year-old stadium, which, by the way, was totally redone 20 years ago. But he must have said it 100 times. 100-year-old stadium, hundreds of million dollars in debt. Okay, but now he's going to roll that debt into a new place. And by the way, the Bears are going to give him $2 billion. Now, how? The guy never even said, okay, let me get this straight. Grandma McCaskey is going to write you a check for $2 billion. The question was never asked. The Bears don't have $2 billion, but he must have said $2 billion 20 times. So he's talking about their $2 billion, and he's going to put more into it, and we're going to have this place, and Soldier Field is going to be paid for. The campuses look beautiful. It'll be 30,000 jobs and blah, blah, blah. And he's going to have all these things going on there, high school graduations and all these sort of functions, and the thing's going to pay for itself. All right, so what? Now the question is, okay, Mayor, look, we're up to $5 billion here, say, give or take. Even if you can get a 6% chunk on this, we're talking $300 million a year in interest. Now, that's not including the $300 million
you're rolling. If you're talking numbers, you're...
Yeah, I'm just saying, but you need to ask this question when you're talking to somebody.
The numbers don't matter. The city can make it happen if they wanted to.
But he must have, Greg, he must have said five times.
Right, because his voter base thinks $2 billion is the best thing ever. I mean, it's...
Well, but it was very obvious. I said, if I'm criticizing her, I'm trying not to. I'm just saying I'm trying to understand.
The strategy is you say $2 billion until everybody thinks that it's going to happen, A.
No,
B.
$2 billion is from the Bears.
Right, so... You know, nobody else could have gotten $2 billion. The fact that it's not going to happen is irrelevant. It's the vision is there. It's very easy to see. It's clear to think about. Everybody in the city can think about a brand new stadium that looks nice. They've seen the renderings, and that was his doing. Doesn't matter if it happens or not. You know, it's getting that image into people's heads.
Well, okay, but let me make my final point, hopefully, is that if you went on further, in his mind, again, I'm not critical of the man at all here. It sounds like I am, but I'm not. I'm just trying to understand. In his view, he must have said 10 times, John and Greg, what's the problem? 33,000 jobs, all this new venue, a gorgeous place, and all the money's coming from rich people and tourists.
Right. Trump does that all the time.
He must have said that 10 times.
You're very visual. You repeat yourself a whole bunch.
But I'm saying,
it's the same thing.
The point is, it's my job to get money out of those people and give it to you people because you voted for me and they yes. didn't. I mean, it's right up there in front of your face.
His victory speech the night he was elected. That was the whole shtick. And it wasn't just, you know, tourists coming in. It was the us versus them mindset. There's people in this city who live far better than other people. And we've got to make sure that we get as much out of those people who are high off the hog and give it to the people who have been waiting their turn. He must have said that 50 times in his acceptance speech.
Well, but the world has... I'm trying to tie together what Greg and I were talking earlier, Jen. The world has changed in such a... If you came back from... You know, I didn't live in a neighborhood, and neither did you, or the city. We had some rich people here. It wasn't like Chicago didn't, but... Basically, anybody from in the 50s and 60s that had a lot of money earned it. I won't say earned it, but either had a business, did something. They did something that somebody else maybe didn't do. It wasn't like now. A lot of people got this view that a real lot of people running around spending all this dough never earned it at all. They just got it from mom and pop. So in Johnson's mind, they didn't, quote, earn it. And you know, there's some agreement there from you and I, right? But it's still their dough. So the idea is we're going to get it. This Chicago Teachers Union, their attitude, because I had somebody on the air from there. The attitude is the rest of the people need to come up and just give us whatever we feel we need. That's the view. And that's interesting. But the fact is, those other people are your constituents too. The rich people in the city, the people who have some wealth, people who have the nice houses in Lincoln Park and other places that are paying the 30, 40, 50 year grand a year in taxes, and their kids are going to private school anyway, you can't piss them off too much because what, they can leave. And we're seeing some of that, right?
Sure. Sure are some.
Why do you think that group isn't stronger? Why do you think they didn't vote more? Up till now, it's been thank you, sir, may I have another? I mean, in my area, I had a break-in last week. Lincoln Park, my place isn't, but Lincoln Park has some really nice places. People have spent a fortune remodeling. I know people have spent $1 million remodeling a place 100 years old. To me, it still don't look so hot. But anyway, they do that. They're paying taxes out the behind. The traffic is unconscionable because of very stupid decisions on the part of the traffic. You can't get on the L in some areas. You can in the morning, at night, obviously. But, I mean, how much more do you think... How much more are people going to take? I mean, one of our buddies, he lives at Superior in Illinois. No, Superior in Franklin. There's been how many shootings? Now there was a stabbing. A shooting within a block of his place again this weekend. And there's another stabbing down. I mean, how much more do you expect those people to take? That block was, what, the most expensive area in the city? All the bulls lived there and stuff? Why would anybody want to live there? I mean, at some point... You can't piss off that base enough, or you don't have any money, right, Chad?
You know what Tony Preckwinkle's take on that is, that if you know people are complaining about, you know, crime and stabbing, how unsafe they are, and how much their property is a threat by people who want to take it from them, she said this with a smirk when she was before the Tribune's editorial board. That well, now people have really do get a pretty good idea of what other people in Chicago have always had to face. It's their turn now, so let them get a dose of everybody else's medicine. Well, I don't know if that's what a public servant who's trying to look out for everybody.
I wouldn't call her a public servant anyway. SP Futures up 13, NASDAQ Futures up 64. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Louis, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tim Howe. We have Matt Byrne on the board. SP Futures up 13. NASDAQ Futures up 62. We're trying to connect all the dots between politics, city problems, debt problems, and the stock market. How's that for a connection, Jan? It looks like a badly wired house at this point, doesn't it?
I need to grow some more arms.
Yeah, I mean, but
plug all these cords into various.
But if you listen every day, we're trying to create. Last week we were talking about worldwide debt, which is what, $322 trillion or some incredible number, Jan. If you take personal debt, business debt, and government debt worldwide. And which is an insane drag on an income, right? Because if you put a 5% rate on it, you're talking about $16 trillion a year in debt worldwide. Well, obviously whoever you pay money to, it's income to one person and deduction for the other. So I guess you could take the Milton Friedman view back long time ago, which I don't think you'd say today, that if you're looking at the world from another planet someplace. I guess we're all flat because everybody owes everybody, and other people are owed, right? I don't know that the thing works that way because your productivity totally begins to drop if you're being sucked out by money, and if these problems with these governments, if they're all broke, somebody somewhere has to cover it. I mean, you can grow your way out of some of it. But I don't see anybody growing faster than the debt, do you? I mean, certainly worldwide we're not. I mean, that's the new economic. But now we're talking about this new CPU thing. And the criticism is on many layers. To me is the man has no business in this negotiation because they put up all the money. They broke their own charter, I believe, on a couple of times by giving him money for his mayoral race. They had people lined up at the polls. How it can be an arm's length transaction with this guy managing the negotiation? I mean, there can't be a fourth grader who think that that's proper. There can't be. But maybe with the new morality, the new what does Lou call it? Where you get to define your own morality. What's the word for that?
Relativist.
Yeah, you're moral relativist. The fact that everybody's become one of those. Under no circumstances is this proper. The rest of the people here are not represented whatsoever against this union, in my opinion. I mean, now they come up with some contract that we can't afford. So all of a sudden the taxes go up again. And even though he doesn't see it, more people leave. Or more people want to rent. Nobody wants to buy. Not nobody. I mean, less people want to buy. And you have these sort of issues, and you keep getting this degradation. When's the pop? I mean, right now we've seen in the market we've seen long term rates go from 1 or 1.5 to 4.5. Now they're not 7, they're not 8, they're probably not quite at a teetering point yet. The market's gone straight up the whole time. Now some of that is concentration. Some of it these places are actually making the dough. Some of it's there's been, they've taken over other places, they've had pricing power, and the rest of the world doesn't. There's a million reasons in there why individual places are doing fine. I mean, I was at Home Depot, I was at Lowe's this weekend, and I just understand how they're doing fine. The prices are to the moon, and there's still people in there. And whether they're buying as much or whatever, the fact is their bill is the same as it was. Now, those are all other issues that maybe apply or somewhere in here, but not we're talking about this moment. Where me as a money manager for people and trying to do the right thing for what they want and protection if they want it, if not they don't, whatever, where do I have to be worried that the people that I have are 80%, 90% long, 70% long, some people are just plain long, or are in maybe somebody wants to buy a long-term bond or something because we have people do that. When do I have to sit there and say, wait a minute, somewhere along the line here, if we go from 4.5, if the incompetence on every layer of government when it comes to money, just if that gets to 7 or 8, is it going to go slow enough to where I can continue to move some people into maybe some shorter-term treasuries or something to try and buffer it a little bit, or is it going to happen all at once? It's a point where if I don't anticipate it or my investors don't anticipate it, all of a sudden we're just going to get clocked, from right out of the blue. So, the acorn's going to land on our head for something. I don't know. I mean, I've seen it go the whole way. Will it be gradual? can let's say, if you know the if the whole PTI group, and I don't even know these numbers because we have people doing all kinds of different stuff, we're probably, if I had to take a guess, in total wealth in the place, we're probably 10-15% in some governments now for people. Some people a little more, some people don't have any. I mean, that type of thing. Now, if it's gradual and we end up, as time goes by, you know, 20-30% in fixed income for people, especially retired, maybe 40, maybe 50, you know, they're way up there. Are we getting a chance to buffer this? Or all of a sudden, one day, is it going to be like August of 82? It's just going to go the other way. And we can't get... And, Jen, I've seen it both ways. And I don't know what to anticipate. I hope I'm not going to get caught, or my clients, because me, I only do what people want us to do. I mean, with some, you know, some maybe advice about their age or their station in life, but basically it's their stuff. I mean, I don't want to, because some of the places I do business for, people just want, they don't care. They're 85 years old. They want to be, if they're 100% NVIDIA, they'd be happy. Whatever. And they've done fine doing that so far. Now, the question is, am I going to get a chance? When I say this out of experience, people go, oh, the guy does talk about it. Well, my friend Robin, who died earlier in the year, unfortunately, in a traffic miscue, she and I bought a place that was on Brompton. You know where Brompton is, Jen?
Just south of Addison, yeah.
Yeah, we bought a place over there in a big courtyard building. I love those buildings. We had a really nice apartment right at the back end of the courtyard with the view both ways. And you could have bought the place, or you could have remodeled it, and they would have a remodeling package, which was very expensive. Or they gutted it for you, and you got to remodel it yourself. And I said, okay, we'll do it. So budgeted the thing out, and Robin got us a, since she was a big shot at Pullman, instead of getting a mortgage like we had done a couple other times and remodeled the place, we got a bridge loan. Now, for those that don't know what a bridge loan is, it's a loan that varies up and down with the prime rate. So we get this loan, I'm going to say, Jen, in September. I figured it's going to take me 6 months and weekends and a few nights during the week to a little help from a couple of people to do this thing. A Robin helps. So we're going to remodel this thing pretty much ourselves. You know, I had plumbers and I had those kind of guys. I wouldn't do that myself. But so, okay, we're pretty much right on schedule, right on budget. We started at, I think, 8.5%, Jen. 6 months later, we were 14%. 6 months. So the idea that all of a sudden, you know, you're going to get this Fed that comes out and it's going to be a quarter point every 2 months or something. If these guys get in trouble with you know, having to, you know, the economy drops a little bit or whatever, and all of a sudden they go to an auction and people are going to want 10% or 7% because the inflation doesn't come down. Now we're going to get the numbers tomorrow and Wednesday. If you get another couple of hot numbers, this 10-year rate could be 5.5. Well, if it is, well, hell, you know, or 6 or 7. What did that do to us, Jan? We ended up selling it for like exactly where I thought we were going to sell it for. So, on the numbers side, I was spot on. We ended up breaking almost exactly even. If you didn't count any of the work I put in there, right? So, if I worked for free, we were even money wise. But it cost me 6 months of weekends to do it. Okay, so, and I was never so happy to break even in my life, because we'd run the, you know, we'd gotten loans and credit cards and stuff, and we'd paid them all off, and I'm going, thank God. If it had been another 6 months at, you know, whatever it was, 14% interest or whatever the hell it went up to, I don't know what we'd have done, you know. But, so, I mean, the fact, everybody's convinced that they're going to see this if it happens. No, you aren't. I mean, I hope I am, because that's my job, is to do, and I think I'm further ahead of most in terms of maybe at least we're some, you know, fixed income or whatever. But in general, this is everybody's convinced there's no chance of this, Jen. There is. I'm sorry. And it comes down to... You look at how does Chicago have to do with that? It's because it's a degradation all over the place. It's on people's credit cards. It's in the city. It's nothing matching up with, you know... The guy can't wait to spend his last COVID money instead of saying, next year I might need that money. What's the matter with a little surplus here? But he can't wait to give it to the people he thinks are going to put him back in office. So if you see that all over the place, that means there's no buffer. And then if the federal government's got to raise taxes or whatever to come or raise interest rates to borrow money from people. The city doesn't have any buffer to help out on our end. So we're going to have state, city, and government, federal doing the same thing. And everybody's going to be raising taxes. Well, guess what? I don't know. People have it anymore. So, I mean, it all does somehow come together, or am I totally wrong?
Look what you know, the sources for all of this pressure, just to go back to the teachers for a minute, because I think that this is indicative of what everybody, you know, is going to be thinking about before long. How much money did the American Federation of Teachers throw at Brandon Johnson to get him elected? It was millions of dollars.
I think enough to get the union disbanded. I think they broke every charter in the book.
Well, and not only that, but I'm sure that they have had people working on these proposed changes to the contract in Washington with the AFT since before Johnson was elected. And they know exactly, you know, you got to look at this document, Tom. I mean, 1/10 of the stuff in here is enough to bankrupt any city very quickly. So the fact this is where they're starting in the negotiations makes me think that this is really a shot across the bow in a lot of ways. You got the same situation with the city of Pittsburgh, because their mayor is, you know, one of the muckety mucks in the SEIU, and it's the same stuff happening here is happening there. You wait, Tom, till the convention here. I got to believe this is going to be, you know, the future on parade. You're going to have Randy Weingarten of the AFT prominently featured as a speaker. Johnson will be speaking. Other union officials will be there. And this is going to be, you know, let's fleece America. It's all going to be the same, you know, drumbeat.
But why, Jan, can't they do the math?
They don't care about the math, Tom. They would rather see Chicago bankrupted and their pockets full. They don't have any. We can't do that because look, how much will harm other people. That is not part of this calculation, believe me.
Actually, is it though, Jan? Because a long time ago, when we first started the show, we had the head of the Chicago Teachers Pension Fund. And he was on, and he was talking about this was deserved and this and that. And, you know, we were talking about how they invested and, you know, who they used. Of course, they get the biggest names and paying a fortune to be even invested. And that's through me. And I said, well, you know, one of the issues I see is that I don't really have a problem with anybody having a pension. I said, but the rest of the world, but in another 10 or 15 years, you're going to be hard-pressed to see the word pension in the dictionary. And yet, you're continually asking people who don't have a pension to pay into somebody else's pension. And as time goes by, people are going to say, by the way, what is a pension?
You know what they'll say in response, Tom, to that question? But we educate your children. You need us. Well, don't give it to us, and we'll strike, and your kids will be out of the street.
Okay. But I said to them, If the numbers get too big and the taxes go up too much and you have people leaving the city and there's one man standing, and in your point of view, that man now has to come up with all the money for all these pensions, he better be a pretty rich dude. The guy goes, he says to me, I don't care. You can always get money out of people. They always say they don't have it, and whenever you raise the taxes, it always comes in, or something along those lines. I'm going, I didn't say anything to him. I can't believe he said that. There's always money you can get from other people, is what he told me. And I'm like,
Tom, I've had teachers tell me, the money question is not our concern. Let other people worry about that. We know the money is there. We're just going to tell you how it should be spent. They don't care about where the money comes from, Tom.
John, how many people, what do you think, I'll use the term slop.
Tom, there's a provision in this, you know, opening points of this contract. If you have 30 years in as a teacher, when you retire, you get an automatic bump up that's pensionable, so it's going to be amortized over your lifetime of $2,500. This is just because you've worked 30 plus years. You get that. You
know, right, so
this
you.
Is the go- this is across the board, any retiree, and you can be sure if this goes into effect, there will be people using it immediately.
Do you have a sense for the year most people start teaching, how old they are? The 25, maybe 24, 26?
24.
All right, let's make it easy. Let's say 25. So 30 puts you at 55. Life expectancy by then is going to be 90. All right, so we're going to pay somebody for 65 years.
So you can retire at 55. So.
And you're going to and you're going to live another, say, 25, 30, yeah. So we're going to be paying you for 60 years for 30 years' work. How the hell do we do that? And we and you don't pay Social Security. So there's no Social Security. It's all in the teachers' union, right?
Right.
How the hell do we do that?
Well, when you see, you know, public service jobs, public sector jobs, as, you know, simply a way of turning up the spigot for the money that comes from God knows where, and who cares where it comes from, as long as we get it. There's no mindset, you know, that's going against this kind of mentality. It's, you know, 9% bump ups in opening year salaries time for this contract. You know, like,
well, I saw that
51% increase.
Well, just to tie it into what
fantasy time.
And just well, just the tie it into what the mayor was saying yesterday regarding all these different days off, paid days off, this on the other. In your shall we say informed opinion, say there's 5,000 teachers on any given day, 5,000 classrooms in any given day that need to be manned. How many teachers do they think they need to cover that? Six? Is everybody out 1 day out of 10 or 1 day out of 20? I mean, I have no idea. I mean, because this is so different, and I know it's a different world. I'm not trying to go back to, you know, Mayberry. But it's, when I went to grammar school, there were no substitute teachers. If somebody was on his deathbed, they didn't come to work, the principal taught class, right? You know, granted, some people were coughing away, they probably should have stayed home, but I'm not saying that's the model for today, but it's so different than these guys' model. What do they think? And St. John Fisher had five overhead people for 34 teachers. I'm going to say Chicago Public Schools probably has at least as many, if not 2 to 3 times as many, overhead than they do teachers. And I think they probably have, if they have 10,000 spots, I'll bet they have 12,000 people because somebody's off. They're off 20% of the time, or 15%. What do you? And this whole concept. I worked at Pullman. John, what's your view on sick days? I'll just ask you a real simple question. What's your view on sick days?
Well, I think, you know, it's okay if you accumulate them. That should be the provide, you know, provision for that. I think, you know, you got to look at what the how many days a week you work as a teacher. You know, to take it to that angle, and you know how many of those days can you reasonably be expected to be ill enough to stay home in any given school year? And I think it should be a fairly low number. I just think if you're expecting kids to be there every day, we used to have truant officers to follow up on kids who weren't there for whatever reason.
Well, I'm going to become a total Luddite here. Why do you need any?
Well, another world where we didn't have this accumulation of negotiated, you know, contracts for public sector unions, you wouldn't have any.
Well, I'm going to give you the Pullman policy.
You could take sick days, and as you know, people in other generations well know, if you took a sick day, maybe you could stay home, but you also didn't get paid anything.
Well, I mean, I know this is not the world we're in anymore, but here's where I started. At Pullman, they had a policy that if you were sick, you got paid. If you weren't, let's put it this way. I have a real, maybe it's my Catholic upbringing, I have a problem with them being called sick days. I mean, at Pullman, if you back in those days, if you had, you know, somebody older, old duffers, I mean, they're younger than me now, you had a heart bypass or something. You were off for 6 weeks. They paid you. You were sick. And there was never a bitch whatsoever. If you called in sick and they found out you were hungover, they fired you. You lied to us. You weren't sick. I mean, you're either sick, or they might send a nurse to your house or something. See if you are sick. I mean, this whole idea that you encourage people to call in sick and lie to somebody when you're not, just to get your day off. At least call it something else, or am I being way too anal here?
personal days or probably anything else.
But I'm saying, why should you get a certain number of them? I mean, if there's a reason for you to be off, God, my kid has to go get surgery tomorrow. Joe, Jane, take the day off. What about the next day? Everybody going to be okay? Take it off. But don't feel you have to call in and lie 10 times to use up your, quote, sick days when you're not sick. I know I'm going way back. I mean, I might as well be in the Middle Ages with this mindset. But you encourage people. I mean, why, if you are, you're talking about a 9-month school year. If you're never sick, why should you never not show up? Or what am I missing here? I've missed in 40 years of working for maybe more than that. I bet I've missed less than a week, Jan, total. If not sick, I go.
I'm with you on that, Tom. It's gotten to the point now where, and I'll take it even a step further. I would bet you, in the way some of these schools are run, the teachers are bad enough. The administration level is probably even worse. You've got people who just don't show up, and people are instructed not to count these as used sick days at all. They're just, not there that day, but they're still getting paid. There's no safeguards that I can see in the system.
Well, I got news for Johnson and the union and everybody. If PTI, which we don't, a smaller firm, but if we had 50 people, I can't afford, unless I had some kind of scam going, how the hell can I afford to pay 60 to do a job of 50? I mean,
I'd like to see some whistleblower going to.
But I mean, I hired you because I need you. Right? Or else why would I hire you? I mean,
Tom, I bet if you went into some of the schools that are grossly unattended these days, not just by the students but by the teachers, you would find whole classrooms that have nobody in them. The teacher didn't show up. None of the students showed up. And maybe there's a room where one student showed up, and that person just shuffled into another classroom where there happens to be enough students and a teacher to actually say we've got class today. Well, but there seems to be absolutely no watchdog paying any attention to this. We have no idea what goes on, other than reports that come out that the absenteeism rate among teachers is just as bad as it is among students, and it's plenty bad among students. Chronic absenteeism, the same people doing it over and over again. And if there isn't any penalty paid for that, other people can get the lay of the land pretty quick, and we'll start saying, well, what's good for her is good for me.
Well,
and,
John, it's very hard.
They get paid anyway. I expect to be paid too.
It's very hard to get a kid to school in the morning when at night he's driving around in a car with two people who want to rob people, but he's holding the gun because he's a juvenile. It's hard to get him home and up and get to school the next morning. We all know that. Right? Just saying.
Well, the teacher's union has a solution for that. We just need more people in the classrooms to be on the lookout for these situations and counselors and everything else. It's all about paying more money.
But I'm just curious, Jan, is it we're teaching people to not do the math? My brother told me a story once about
it. It's teaching people to feel like your sense of entitlement as a teacher is so great.
But how do you not...
Other people need to be, falling in line behind you and giving you what you ask for, because your job is much more crucial than any other person's. This kind of mindset doesn't work for me in any public private sector setting at all. There really isn't any. Maybe somebody delivers the mail or collects the garbage is remember essential employees, Tom, during the lockdowns. And teachers pat themselves on the back saying we're essential because we're teaching online now. Classes.
But how do you avoid on the news side? I mean, I guess we're news. I mean, if the mayor was in here, how do I stop myself from asking the simplest questions? And like, wait a minute. I mean, how many people do you think actually? I mean, my brother knows a lady or knows of a story. Librarian in one of the south suburbs. We'll not go into the name of it. She's there, competent, been there the whole life, the whole bullshit. And they decide they're going to force her into retirement because the retirement, now the state pays the retirement and hire somebody cheaper. All right, fair enough. So she comes, she retires, and they hire some younger lady. Nope, nothing wrong with that. So now they're paying the pension and the younger lady. Younger lady, what younger ladies do, ends up pregnant. They got some super aggressive, 6 months off for the kid or some crap. Not saying it's a bad idea. I'm just saying you got to know the numbers. So now they don't have a librarian. What do you think they do, Jane? They hired the other one back as a consultant while she's still getting her pension. So now we're three salaries in the one spot. Have we gained or have we lost? I mean, at least that question, the mayor or somebody needs to be able to answer that, or at least has to think about it, you would think, but evidently not.
Well, you'll get the runaround if anybody asks them that question, which they won't, I'll be sure of that. It's a pretty good question.
Yeah,
I mean, you know what the answer is. You know, this is just part of the way we do business. The double dipping has been the curse of public pensions. I mean, they're insupportable as they look on paper, but you add to them the fact that people are retiring and then not retiring and coming back in at the high end and earning up to the maximum that they can without endangering their annuities.
I'd love to retire and then come back as an consultant.
Well, I know many people have done it. You know, think it's, you know, the most normal thing in the world. And to me, if you're retired, you're retired.
What happens in the military a lot?
Oh, yeah. Well, that probably, you know, maybe is the trendsetter for a lot of this, because I think the bloat in pensions and your early retirement started in the military. I can't quantify this
well, Jan, somewhere
or anything, but I've had a sense of that long before you had to worry about public sector unions like the teachers cashing in on this, the military was already doing
it. I think that someplace, somewhere, you can retire whenever you want. I mean, it's God, if you're a policeman, if you put in 20 years, 25, I can't tell you to go out there one more night and give tickets or whatever you're trying to corral these guys, but you're not going to check till you're 65. You can go into the forensic side, we'll teach you how to do that, do something. You're not going to not work from age 50 to 65 to get paid. We just can't afford it. I mean, it just, anyway. We go to break and hang around for Audrey a little bit. We'll talk about some of the real estate stuff.
Yeah, about 15 minutes I can hang out.
SP Futures up 10, NASDAQ Futures up 50. Another update, it looks like. Be right back, Stocks and Jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at ptisecurities.com. That's ptisecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of HomeSource Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, welcome back, Stocks and Jocks. Matt Burn on the board. SP Futures up 11, NASDAQ Futures up 53. We got the Dow futures are up 60, individual stocks are down. We've got Goldman Sachs up 220. We've got we had Microsoft up 274. Those are two kind of moving to the upside. Apple up 226. So, again, Dow's been really, really strong lately, and so is the rest of the market. We'll see if it keeps going. We got the CPI and PPI kind of reverse order this week. This week the PPI is first, tomorrow CPI is Wednesday. Sometimes it's one way, sometimes the other. I don't know why, but that's just the way it is. European markets actually a little lower than they were, but not much. DAX down 46.3%. It was 0.2. FTSE down 17.2. CAC around now down 19.2. Again, a little bit to the downside, but not much. Asia, most of the markets here are lower, but Hang Seng's not. Nikkei down 49.1%. Hang Seng up 151.8. Shanghai down 7.2%. On Friday, as a wave review, Dow was up 125. Dow was up, been up like 8 or 9 days in a row. S&P up 8, NASDAQ was down 5, so not much on the rest of the market. We've got bonds this morning down 2 basis points, 4.48. The Bund down 2 basis points, 2.50. Japan up 3 basis points, 0.94, as it keeps creeping on Japan. They're still behind everybody else, but they're still way above the zero they were forever. Oil up 59 cents, 78.85. Brent up 52 cents, 83.31. Natural gas down 2 cents, 2.28. Arbov up 2 cents, 252. We got gold getting whacked here a little bit. Down 22 bucks, 23.52 after a nice run up last week. Nice run up if you're long. Silver up 4 cents, 28.55. Copper up 5 cents, 4.71. This copper has been the steadiest mover here. It was under 4 for a while, but if you just bought some copper maybe 3-4 months ago, it's been pretty much almost every day. Not much, but creep, creep, creep. Foreign exchange. The euro is pretty much unchanged, 107.9. And same thing with the British pound, 125.5. We've got Bitcoin up 1,300, bouncing 62,742. It was kind of getting whacked a little for a while. See what happens there. Now we got for us, Trevi Weather Sports. Cubs win, Sox no.
Yeah, not so good for the Sox there. It's currently 7:36 a.m. on May 13th, 2024. As far as traffic downtown on I-90/94, traffic currently backed up inbound on the Dan Ryan from 31st Street to 59th. This is due to a work on a bridge over the expressway. Bridge traffic is closed on 31st Street in both directions between Wentworth and LaSalle until Friday, August 2nd. You got some time on that one. As well as that, we have an accident downtown in the local lanes outbound to the Stevenson Expressway at exit 53C, so keep that in mind. Weather in Chicago right now, currently 67 degrees this morning, a high of 76. Not as warm today, a couple of showers and a thunderstorm expected this afternoon. Down in Phoenix, 71 degrees and a high of 99. Hot, 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 and lots of sun. As far as sports, we have the MLB yesterday. Cubs won their away game against the Pittsburgh Pirates, 5-4. And White Sox, though, lost their game against Cleveland Guardians. No points for the Sox. Final score, 7-0. Today, the Cubs play Atlanta Braves at 6:20 p.m. Central Time. And White Sox are at home. They'll play Washington Nationals tonight at 6:40. In the NBA playoffs yesterday, semifinals, in the East, Pacers beat Knicks 121-89, and in the West, Nuggets won against Timberwolves 115-107. Semifinals continue tonight with Celtics and Cavaliers at 6 p.m., Thunder and Mavericks playing at 8:30. That's all I got, Chief. Back to you.
Do we have Audrey?
We do indeed.
Hey, Audrey, how are you?
Good morning, just fine.
We're trying to solve the issues of the world here, but we're having trouble with that.
It's way too early to try and solve the issues in the world.
So how about we solve some of the, at least inform everybody what's going on in the real estate world. We had a chance to spend some time with Nancy, because of kind of screw-ups and reservations. Jan, get a load of this. We ended up getting a reservation through Yelp on a place that was closed. How'd that work out?
That's called aggressive marketing.
Yeah.
It was the strangest thing ever. On all the sites online, Open Table, even the restaurant site you call the so-called sister restaurant. Oh, yeah, go ahead, make a reservation. They're open. We get there, they're in the middle of remodeling. The nice gentleman that came out who was working on the place said, well, actually, we're not opening at all. We're not going to open as the restaurant we said that's on the awning, and we're not sure what kind of restaurant we're going to be at. So that's how the evening started out, which was fairly interesting.
It's the night before Mother's Day. Like, okay, where now can we go? It's like, oops.
We're going to get a hot dog and eat on the curb, but it ended up working out okay.
There was always White Castle. We could always have some sliders going to White Castle. They were open. They're always open, you know. Anyway, so we had a chance to talk to Nance about, you know, a little bit about the mortgage industry, and she and Odd together. There was always a lot of info on who's going back and forth, and I'm anxious to get you back on, Art, because last week were talking, you know, Nancy was saying what 40% of the people are their homes are paid for. So, but that group, that's kind of where, I'm not going to say generally, but you've been kind of working a lot in that group lately. People that own their home, sell one, either upsize or downsize, usually downsize, and then somebody else who's coming the other way. That's kind of the group you're maneuvering in. Because she was saying that 38% have the 3.5% mortgage and they can't leave. Then there's the other 20. And the 38% is kind of a dead zone, isn't it, Ann?
Well, you know, there's absolutely no reason to move. Even if you think you're going to so-called downsize, then you're still going to end up paying twice as much. So why are you going to move?
Well,
so
yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
This whole market basically has been, you know, created by the Fed and their interest rates. So the problem we have in housing, you could trace back mostly to the interest rates.
Yeah.
For many other reasons, too. But, you know, when you look at somebody who's sitting at anywhere from 2.5 to 5, you're just not going to get up and move. You're just going to stay there and either fix it or just be happy where you are.
It sounds like, in theory, it should be a big boon to home remodels and people putting additions on, but is there that much of that going on, or are those loans hard to get? Huh?
Well, you're getting, but like anything else, you're going to pay for it. So, you know, are people fixing up and staying? Yes, they are, definitely. But maybe they're not doing the $150,000 kitchen remodel. Maybe they're settling for the $50,000 kitchen remodel.
What does somebody do? I mean, if you were fortunate enough, you know, you got married 6 years ago or 7 years ago or whatever, and, you know, had a kid after 2 years, and you have another one now, and you need a bigger place, and you don't want to lose your nice mortgage because you're down to 3.5 or 3.25. But if you have enough equity in the home, you can go out and get, Jan, feel free to opine on it, you can go out and get a second loan on the home, which is probably, I'm going to say, reasonably priced. But what if you don't have the equity in the home and actually have to go out and get an additional home? Where do you go for that, right? And how do you pay for that? If all of a sudden you thought you were going to have a baby and you got triplets or something, and you actually don't have the...
Well, you can't really technically, you can't take your home and use, like, get a home equity loan against that, like, to get another one.
So you're talking about a credit card at that point, basically, right? Or several credit cards.
Or a different type of loan. But it's just... But also to the point that we made before, that we also all grew up in a bunch of small houses with a bunch of people around. Everybody seemed to live happily. But it's, you know, the big thing is you're just not, the difficulty in finding a home. It's not even financing. If you don't have equity, you can always figure out a way to finance something. But there's simply not any place to go. I don't know, John, if you agree with me on that. I could sell your house all day long, but you're going to be living with me.
Right. The you know, the problem too, I think, is that, and I'm not Nancy, but I mean, when she was talking about this is, you know, several months ago, maybe, about how there, you know, almost no home equity loans at that time, and I haven't kept up on what's going on with that. But in a climate like this, where you've got people maxed out on their credit cards, you know, consumer spending has, you know, I think now it's contracting. People have reached the point where they can't borrow anymore on those. I just don't see them being in a position to go out and get a home equity loan. I mean,
yeah, you're right. They're not going to qualify. You're right.
Right. Maybe they can pay down some of these credit card balances, but they're not going to have anything left over to put into remodeling or updating or anything like that. So
they're worried about eating and keeping a roof over. And a 28% interest rate on a credit card, which I think should be illegal.
Yeah,
it is unconscionable that the banks could do that. They're still saying they can give you like 1.5 or 2% on their savings accounts. So it's just the average person is going to be so shoved back down that part of the middle class, it's just going to vanish if they don't do something.
How many people, and for reasons unto themselves, say, you know, they always want to keep like 20 grand in a bank or 15 in case of a rainy day, and yet with the same bank have a $20,000 credit card thing, and they don't realize they're scalping themselves. They're getting one and they're paying 25. Banks have to love that. Talk about the perfect world for a bank, right?
Yep. Absolutely. It's just a shame.
It's, you know, it's, well, and
I wish the government should have something to say about that.
Well, they did. That's a Supreme Court thing. I mean, you guys know the history of that. Most states, I don't know if any of even, most states did have.
Well, the whole usury rate thing should be reexamined, I think.
Well,
there should be some kind of proportion ratio between what you're paying out and what you're raking in.
Well, what you're really saying, Art, is when you have a central bank that drives interest rates down to 1.5% to make it good for business and everybody, you shouldn't leave some other people behind in the 25% number. They made zero effort. I actually, on one of my Saturday mornings where it was snowing, John, I had nothing to do, I dug back, and I don't even have the stuff anymore, but I remember from 2008 to 2020 when interest rates went from whatever down to like zero, credit card rates actually were even or went up. Well, if you're the Fed, you would think if you're doing your job and you actually think that interest rates should be lower for people, that wouldn't happen. But actually, for those that are, you know, old enough, you wonder, how did they get this way? Most states, including Illinois, although I don't even know if anybody pays attention anymore, Jen, actually do have usury rates. And if you, I think Illinois was 12%. That sound right, Jen?
Or no? I think, yeah, right. 12, 14, something like that, yeah.
And Audrey, the how does it, somewhere in there, but the Supreme Court ruled that if you got the loan from out of state, that those rates didn't apply. Now, where they got that one, I have no idea, but it ranks up there with the, you know, baseball not being interstate commerce. But that's why all of a sudden, even if you had a credit card with, like, say, the dear departed Continental Bank, the bill would be coming from South Dakota or Carolina. So the Supreme Court decision, I believe, was now South Dakota does not have usury rates, and Illinois did not have the right to impose their usury rate basically on a loan from South Dakota, even though Continental or First National Bank were sitting right across the street from you. Now, that's how convoluted business can get, and using our laws to screw people, in my opinion. Now, I know that was the story, and even now, that's why who's the people originally took over to First National Bank before they became, well, Chase, wasn't Chase from Carolina?
Chase,
yeah.
No, Chase was from New York, but who was the outfit down there that did all the credit card
Bank,
stuff?
Bank One took them over.
Yeah, Bank One was from there, right?
In Ohio,
Well, I don't know if Ohio, but a lot of them came from South Dakota, right? Still, a lot of your credit cards come from South Dakota, don't they, when you get it in the mail?
A lot of Ohio, too.
Yeah, Ohio. So Ohio, it's kind of surprised Ohio never had usury rates, but so what is the health of the industry? Is it still okay? I mean, you're doing fine, but you got to, you know, you've been doing it for a while. You're really good at it, and people like you, so that's a good thing. But are there less people in the real estate business than there were 5 years ago, or more, or what?
I think the people are still there, but. It's busy. Let's put it this way. I'm still at a place where I'm pretty busy. I have a lot of clients doing different things, buying and selling. So I am. But as far as I think, if you're a new person in this business and you don't have a lot of clients, you're just struggling to start. You know, real estate is a very difficult business. And to speak to the changes that have gone on in the industry since, you know, the government, they just couldn't leave the real estate business alone. I would challenge anybody who is who was a regular working person and thinks that real estate people make a lot of money for buyer's agents. I mean, if you have a buyer now, and I will use one as an example now that I've been working with for almost 3 years, and for all the time that I have been researching for them, usually almost every day, even if it's 15 minutes to half an hour, having a discussion, are we going to see it, are we not going to see it, set up an appointment. Their target area is 45 minutes to an hour from where I'm at. Drive there, look at it, maybe make an offer. I would say we've written 16 contracts in the last 2 years that we did not get the house. And a lot of it is when people are doing it in this market, people who are willing to buy a house and it's a nice house and everybody wants it, they're going over list price. And people should listen to their realtors, because my client loved the house. That was it. That was the forever house. That was the perfect one. And then dug their heels in and refused to pay one penny over a certain point. And I'm like, well, you're not going to get it. Well, then we're not going to get it. Well, then when they didn't get it, they were shocked and sorry and wanted to know if they could pay more. Well, there was 8 other contracts that were already in front of us. So unfortunately, right now, the competition is so intense on us. You're going to have to pay attention to the facts. If you want something, you're going to have to bend, because to the point, the 18% of housing that's left out in the market there is what everybody is fighting over.
Because it's somewhat of a...
I know that deviated from your question.
No, no, but that's fine. It's somewhat of a... We were talking to Nancy last week, but it's kind of a truncated market because of the people who can't leave, right? So, I mean, there's not as many out there as there normally would be, right? I mean, that's what you've been saying.
Yeah. People that are sitting in a house paid for, they're not moving. People that are at 2 or 3%, which is basically free money, they're not moving. So the few people, it's almost... Anything that's coming on the market now is brought about almost by a life event, a death, a divorce, a birth. It's not just somebody saying, wow, I'd really like to go get that big house on an acre lawn with an in-ground pool. It's not that kind of market. People, you're not going to get a listing now unless something is forcing a sale.
What do you think?
It's just another example of how less free we are than we used to be.
Well, yeah.
We used to be a lot more able to make decisions that, you know, that suited us, and there was no constriction on it, and it wasn't going to cost us an arm and a leg to do it. It was an option, and now that option is kind of foreclosed.
Well, is there a reluctance? Some areas not going into what areas or whatever, but it seems like the rental market is pretty darn strong. Is that from a reluctance in general to buy, or is that just because there's not enough places or hasn't been enough construction? But it seems like the rental market's pretty hot.
There's no place to rent by me. And there, again, I had people bidding up rentals. I had a few rentals this spring, and people were willing to bid over the asking price for a rental. I don't know, John, what you've seen in your stuff, but the squeeze on rentals is amazing, and you're almost, and if you're looking at a smaller home or condo, it is, but again, still almost cheaper to buy than it is to rent, but again, it's finding something.
Well, plus, you're liable to get stuck, too. I mean, if anything bad happens in a city or someplace, people got the... Well, I was saying the other day, I won't say it again, but a little bit, is it, remember when in the early 2000s, the condo market in the city, and, you know, Susie, the daughter, was going to move downtown, the old man said, no, you're not getting a place in Wicker Park where you're parking three blocks away at night and walking home. I'll buy you a condo and a building, and we'll just, because they were going up every year. And all of a sudden, those people got whacked in 2007, right? So people are, the speculation on the condos isn't there. So people want to rent them. And like you say, the price is to the moon, right?
Yeah, absolutely. For everything. And it's just difficult. Well, you see a lot of the younger people are doubling or tripling up to be able to get an apartment. But, you know, for a lot of times young families, it's very difficult. Very, very difficult. So I don't know. It's just going to be until this interest rate relaxes somehow. And the, you know, the job market, I see the job market as John and Tom, I don't know if you do, but you see announcements and tech, you know, something we thought wouldn't happen, you know, tech jobs going away, you know, big firms, tech firms letting people go, which we didn't think that we would see, you know, the tech field, the medical field, supposed to be the place you want your kid to get a job in to be recession proof. But you see a lot of things cutting back. And I'll tell you, this AI is going to do away with people at fast food restaurants. People may complain about minimum wage, but at least there is a wage. But they're going to have, they have some machine out now that actually does the frying of food. You don't need a person at all. How it cooks, it was interesting. So it's all AI generated, which again, we're in the middle of a new industrial revolution. We're not going to need most of the people walking the earth.
Well, the next time, any of us goes to a bar like 6 months from now or a year from now, my nephew, you didn't come over to my Rose yesterday for Mother's Day, but my nephew had just gone to the, there was a show last week, and anybody could go, it was free to get in. I don't know, I didn't have the time, but it was a artificial, whatever, like a workplace show at McCormick Place. You know,
that had to be interesting.
I said it was wild. I can't wait to tell my buddies at the Tripoli. He said they had two bartenders working there. One of them's pouring beers and the other one's shaking a martini. Because they were doing a pretty good job. Wait till I tell the girls downstairs, you're out. You know, do you tip those things or what?
Well, you can
program them
to gossip.
The bartender's there to look good and to talk to you when you got nobody else to talk to. That's what a bartender does, right? They're psychologists.
They'll be able to talk too. Watch. Sure. It'll be like hell.
It'll be like hell.
Yeah.
I can see.
They'll be passing your secrets on to your.
Jeff
is already talking to you, so we're right there. We'll see it in our lifetime.
I can see John talking to some robot bartender. Did she would at least have to look like a female, or you don't care? John, so what do you think of this public policy? And the thing's bouncing right back to you, having this big conversation with him.
It's everything is already talking to you.
They'll all be named Alexa.
Yeah, it'll all be named. As long as it's not Hal, or if you have trouble, they grab you by the throat and wing you out the door.
How about the flame throwing dog robot? Did you see that one?
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, it's you could buy one online. I think they're $10,000, and it literally walks around on four legs, and it has a flamethrower, so in case you want to destroy the neighborhood or something, you could get this flamethrowing robot dog. It was on the news. You guys should check it out.
There's a few neighbors that wouldn't mind one of those. Guy comes up
with cruelty is going to have a new adoption policy.
Guy comes up with a gun and your dog flamethrows the guy to a cinder.
The problem is it throws a flame like 30 feet.
Well, so you miss the dude. It's like a bullet. You miss. So what? You hit somebody else.
Yeah, I found it
online.
It'd
be frightening that you could buy something like that online.
Wait a minute, Matt's got it.
It's called the Thermonator. It's the first ever flamethrower-wielding robot dog. Comes with an ARC flamethrower to deliver on-demand fire anywhere. Anyone want to take a guess at how much it costs?
$10,000.
Very close. $9,420.
Does the thing walk?
It seems that it walks, yeah. It's got those robot dog legs.
You know, this new world might be kind of fun. give everybody a shameless plug. How do we find you?
You can call me at 848-646-6494 or send me an email at AudreyJohnson@realtor.com.
I'm intrigued by this dog. I've been thinking about it all day.
And there goes my dog.
Yeah. How big is this thing?
Gosh.
It's pretty big. It's about the size of Abby.
Yeah, well, how big is Abby? Those that don't know who Abby is.
50 pounds.
You know, Abby's a standard poodle.
My standard poodle. It's a squirrel just went by the window. She doesn't let me know. There we go.
So, John, what's your view on... I can't get home any night now because we have the Kennedy closed, the Franklin Street Bridge closed, and we've got DuSable Lakeshore Drive. Every place going on. How the hell are they going to have a convention here?
Well, it's going to be a convention for the books, Tom. That's all I'm going to predict at this point. My feelings about it get more dire every day, though. What could happen? So.
Yeah,
I'm looking for my place in the country.
What country? I'm kind of.
You know what? For the first time in my life, I don't know. Just, I love my country. It's definitely wouldn't be around the city here. That's for sure.
Jan, should we be getting our dual citizenship with Ireland?
Oh, I think the jury's out on Ireland.
It's still the best place there. America's still the best place to live. I think we can still save it.
Yeah, I think we could probably. Well, we better hustle up on that. So why do you have a good week? We got what else? We were talking earlier about. We kind of were digging into the local politics. Is Nance was saying it's so far in the areas you guys. I mean, you guys do stuff everywhere. You don't not go anywhere. Other than, like, you mentioned at one time the places further south that have lost some of the malls and some of that taxes have been pushed to regular people, that a lot of the places the taxes in the burbs are not as egregious as some of the other areas now. I mean, where it's not like Florida or places like that where all of a sudden, well, Florida's the insurance thing. But the taxes really haven't entered the mix as much as maybe You would think they would have at some point. But you're saying that they're not as bad as... You've mentioned a couple of places where, like, Lincoln Mall closed and all of a sudden those areas got trouble, or even Evergreen Park with the plaza closing and things. But most places, the taxes are up a little bit, but it's not... They're not deal breakers yet, are they?
Who's that for?
You.
It's more John.
Well, both.
Me?
Yeah, you. I mean, you haven't... You don't normally see somebody, I can afford the house, but the taxes are too high here, I'm not buying it. I mean, it doesn't happen too often, does it?
It does, actually, because taxes are so high now that on some of these places, taxes are as high as the mortgage payment.
Ugh. Well, it's not...
Then yeah, you throw out,
they want to... like that, in South Suburbs, too, that lacked industry and tax base. The houses are affordable, but the taxes are out of control.
I know, like, isn't Olympia Fields, Flossmoor, those areas kind of like that because they lost the mall and something?
Yeah, beautiful houses, you know, great, you know, spaces to live, but the taxes are killers.
Well, they managed to keep the schools up, though, I think, haven't they, pretty much? I mean, people are willing to pay up a little bit if you can at least go to the schools. But, yeah, it's, you know, I guess we keep going to this, and where, at what point is it too high? You know, we've talked about the teachers' union, we've talked about, you know, Soldier Field, some point where people go, I just can't live here. I know one of the guys on... where John had his house over on, was that, he was two blocks the other side of Sheffield. Was that Dayton? I don't know, whatever street that is. And the guy next to, down the block, I mean, our buddy Doc, not Dr. J, I think did the closing for the guy. He sold his place for like $1.5 million. He bought a place up on the North Shore, and instead of having to pay 35 or 40 grand a year to go to one of the private schools, the kid was going to New Trier or something. He ended up buying a place less, saving on the taxes, saving on the school, and joined a country club, and he was ahead of the game. I mean, are we seeing a lot of that, John, or, you know, Audrey, or no? Are people are moving for those reasons?
Oh, absolutely. See, people want good schools, and you're definitely not finding them in the city of Chicago. Was it 21% of Chicago public school students are actually working at grade level, and the teachers union have the nerve to ask for a raise?
A big raise.
They should make every teacher's performance, like every other job, tied to success. You can't get your kids out of your grade.
Well, they promote everybody. I mean, that's the policy.
Well, that's all policy, but that's when that started, which was about 15 years ago, 20 years ago. If you can't promote your kids at reading level, then you don't deserve your job, math level, science level. You don't deserve a job.
Well, they have a rough time when half the kids drugged and everything else. It's more than just their issue, but yeah, they're definitely part of it. Anyway,
that's not citywide. You know, they got a problem, but they need to clean house.
Well, if your kids don't get one of these magnet schools, you got trouble. You got real trouble. Some of the Catholic schools are still fairly cheap, but what is like Parker or Latin now? Are they 40?
That's not my wheelhouse.
No, more than that,
Tony. Oh, more than that?
I think Parker's more than that.
Ugh. Well, John, thank you. See you later in the week, Odd. I'll see you. Talk to you. SP Futures only up 12 now. NASDAQ Futures up 55, so we're still positive. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit hamzyanalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.
Report back to me when it makes sense.